For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare to even die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that love, that you loved us so much that you would send your Son to die for us, an unrighteous people, wicked people, and people that hate you, and yet you would still send your Son because of your love for us. Father, I just thank you for that great grace as we have sung this morning. Guide and direct in our time this morning. Be with Pastor Craig now as he teaches. Open our hearts and prepare us for the words that you have prepared in his heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. It's we are so blessed here. We have so many people that contribute to the service every Sunday morning that when we have 25 people gone, you don't realize how many different hats some people have to wear. Dave was, it's just neat seeing him juggle the baby and anyway, doing all these different things. Romans chapter 5 again. As I mentioned last week, we are slowing things down just a little bit in looking at what we are looking at. Have you heard, I'm sure you've heard this before, you've heard of being in the right place at the right time, the right person in the right place at the right time. Everything seems to work out. Well, back in June of this year, Gus Hertz was on a fishing vacation in St. Petersburg, Florida. And he was anchored out, I believe, in a rental boat, anchored, relaxing in the warm Florida sun, fishing line in the water, not a care in the world, just out there enjoying his vacation. When all of a sudden, he noticed a car not far from him. He was out, I think, in a waterway, I believe. But he noticed a car that was coming around a bend, and it wasn't a beach-type setting. It was like a pier-type setting. Anyway, the car was coming around this bend on shore, and he could tell it was out of control. And then next thing he knew, it went off the pier and into the water. So Gus, seeing this, immediately jumped to attention. He dropped his fishing pole, he pulled anchor, rushed to the car, dove into the water where the driver and passenger were stuck, struggling to get out of it. And Gus, in a heroic feat, fought his way into the car, got them loose, and pulled both the driver and passenger to safety, and then quietly disappeared as soon as the fire department and paramedics showed up. Well, Gus was the right person in the right place at the right time. The very next day, Gus was out on his boat, relaxing in the warm Florida sun, fishing line in the water. Things couldn't be better. When all of a sudden, a small plane comes zooming by right over the top of his boat and crashes into the water not far from where he is. Well, you guessed it. Gus dropped his fishing pole, pulled anchor, sped over to the plane in his boat to find the pilot and a passenger thrashing in the water, and he pulled them to the safety of his boat. Gus was the right person at the right place at the right time twice in 2 days. You would almost think it was like a divine appointment, like this was all planned out the way this happened, okay? Well, I want you to listen to some of the words used of us in our passage, okay? These are words that describe man. Paul says that we are without strength. We are helpless. We are powerless. We are ungodly. We are sinners. Man is stuck in a dire condition. And it would take the right person at the right place at the right time to get us out. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5 for a minute. Just this is closely connected to what we're going to look at this morning. But let me just read verse 1 of chapter 5. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, faith in Jesus Christ is how we obtain the rescue that God offers. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be saved by God and seen as righteous and perfect and sinless. It's not that we are these things. That's how God sees us, because of the rescue that Jesus Christ provides. And only Jesus Christ could do this for man. Well, what did Jesus do exactly to get us unstuck? What did he do to get us out of that condition? Well, the answer, in short, is this. He died. He died. And for someone who hears that perhaps for the first time, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. How can someone dying be of any use to anyone? Well, while our passage actually teaches us a lot about ourselves, the focus here this morning is on Jesus Christ. And this morning we are going to see precisely how Jesus' death accomplished justification for man. This is how he gets us unstuck. This is the procedure of justification. And we're going to find that in Romans 5, 6 through 8. And the very first item that I want to quickly point out, and I get this first point from one single word in our passage this morning, but it's an important one because everything else revolves around this. Everything else that we look at this morning is connected to this first point, and here it is. Christ died because he is the right person. Christ died because he is the right person. Paul uses the term Christ all by itself, without Jesus in there. He uses the term Christ twice in our passage, and here's why. The word Christ is actually a Greek word, and its equivalent is the Hebrew word Messiah. So Messiah and Christ are equals. And as Ron pointed out actually several weeks ago in a Sunday school class, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Okay? Christ is a title. It is a title, and it's actually the title is the Anointed One. That's his title, the Anointed One. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Sin deserves death. And someone has to pay. And if it isn't us, or I should put it this way, for it not to be us, it had to be the Anointed One, the right person. God, knowing that man is sinful, sent the Anointed One, the Christ, to pay for man's sin by dying in our place. It had to be the right person. You see, only God in human flesh would have enough value to pay for the sins of the world. Only God in human flesh could live a sinless life himself so that he could die for the sins of the world. You see, if that one had sinned, then the only person that his death would pay for is his own, because he sinned. So only God in human flesh could live that perfect sinless life, and only God in human flesh was willing to die for the sins of man. That is the Christ. That is the Jesus of the Bible. Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He is the right person. In fact, he is the only person that could accomplish justification for man. Christ died because he's the right person. Secondly, this morning, Christ died at the right time. Christ died at the right time. Let's look at verse 6. He says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, one might look at the heroics of Gus Hertz and rightfully say, you know, as he was out there on his boat, He showed up at just the right time. He showed up just in the nick of time. Had he not showed up when he did, things could have been entirely different. Things could have got way out of hand. Okay? He showed up at just the right time. This would be a true statement of Gus Hertz. But that is not what it means concerning Christ showing up at the right time. The rescue that Jesus provided was a scheduled rescue. It was a divine appointment. Christ did not come to die because things were getting out of hand. Christ did not come to die just in the nick of time. Christ came to die because that is when God had always planned to send him. In due time, at the right time, means at the appointed time. So now we have the anointed person at the appointed time. Christ came to die for no other reason than this was the time that God had planned all along. Jesus, through his earthly ministry, consistently talked about the hour. The hour is coming. The hour is near. The hour is now. Everything that Jesus Christ did was on a divine timetable. 1 Peter 1:20 says, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." The real question here is, why did God appoint a time for Christ to die? Well, first of all, because man is powerless. Man is powerless. Your translation might read without strength, powerless, helpless. But this is describing the weakness of man in being righteous. But I also want to call our attention to the word, really, that comes right before that word. And it's the word still. Still without strength. Still powerless. Still helpless. This is not implying that God was waiting to see if we could gain power or help ourselves. It is implying that we are yet in that condition. We are still as we have always been. We are stuck. We are stuck in that condition. What condition? Well, God appointed a time for Christ to die because of man's powerlessness, or man was powerless, but that's not really the condition. The condition is because man was ungodly. Man is ungodly. This is the condition that man is stuck in. Ungodly means contrary to God. Hence the un, okay? Contrary to God. By nature, instead of seeking God, man seeks for himself. By nature, instead of obeying God, he disobeys God. By nature, man sins. By nature, man is ungodly and he is stuck there. The ungodly are who Christ died for. At the appointed time, God planned a rescue for sinners because they were stuck in that ungodly condition. The ungodly are us. I want you to notice that even the Apostle Paul here, in writing this letter to a very broad audience, says in verse 6, "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." The "we" is included within the ungodly. And the ungodly are all mankind. This is whom Christ died for. This is you and me and we. "For indeed he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Because man is powerless, because man is ungodly, at the appointed time Christ died. Thirdly, this morning, Christ died in the right place. Christ died in the right place. Now, we are not talking geographically. While there was a very specific area of the world in which the Christ would come and live and minister and die and resurrect, we are not talking geographically. We are talking substitutionally. Substitutionally, Christ died in place of man. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust." Christ died substitutionally to take sin's penalty in place of man. The just for the unjust. Now, normally when we think of substitution, we think of a lesser for a greater. Okay? Second string stepping in for first string. Back in the glory days of the Utah Jazz basketball team, they were short glory days. The Stockton and Malone days. But I used to watch them, and it used to really bother me when they pulled John Stockton out of the game. And he needed a rest. I knew he needed a rest, but normally what would happen as soon as he left the game, the person that subbed in for him would begin to lose the ground that he had worked so hard to gain. And it used to frustrate me. On the flip side of that, though, in the years that they actually made it to the finals and played the Bulls, it didn't bother me so much when Michael Jordan's sub came in. Okay, I was all right with that. I was okay with that. But in many realms, a substitution is a lesser taking the place of the greater. Well, God does things a little bit backwards from the world. Or I should better say, the world does things a little bit backwards from God. Okay? Because God put the greatest in place of the least. Let's read verse 6 along with verse 7. It says, "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." You see, Christ died in place of man. He was in the right place. Jesus is the able one in place of the unable. God demands perfection in order for us to be in His presence. We are weak. We are stuck. In that condition, we cannot live a righteous life. We could not live a life of perfection to earn our place with God. It's impossible. The Son of God could. Jesus lived that sinless life. He is the able in place of the unable. Jesus is the godly one in place of the ungodly. Man's condition is sinful. He's born with a sin nature. And as a result, he sins even in the earliest years of his life. And there is nothing that he can do within himself to rectify that problem. He is ungodly, and only one who is perfectly godly could trade places with him and affect his condition. Jesus is the godly one in place of the ungodly. Look at verse 7 one more time. It says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." You see, Jesus is the worthy one in place of the unworthy. Verse 7 actually gives us two similar scenarios. It gives us a scarce scenario and a possible scenario. Okay, verse 7 is telling us scarcely, would a person die for a righteous man? And we'll just define a few of these words here. The word scarcely means with difficulty. It would be a hard thing for someone to do. And the word righteous, or excuse me, innocent. Yeah, the word innocent. The word righteous there means innocent in man's eyes. Okay, as man sees things, it would be a difficult thing for a person to die for someone they thought was innocent. In fact, we could even think about it as like a court of law. Imagine your best friend or your brother or your sister or your spouse or your children being condemned to death for a crime that you are certain they did not commit. While it would be difficult, you might even be willing to take their place, if you could. It would be scarce. It would be a difficult thing to do. He even goes a step further and he says, possibly would a person die for a good man. And the word good here speaks of a person who is beneficial. Beneficial maybe to a family or to a group or to society, perhaps more so than we see ourselves. And Paul is perhaps even painting a picture of one who would give his life to spare the life of a very important person. It made me think of our Secret Service. All right, here they are. Their job is to protect and even give their life for the president or other administrators if that opportunity presents itself. While all Secret Service are trained to take the bullet for the president, there's actually only been one that has ever done so, who has ever stepped in the way of an oncoming bullet for our president. Many of you probably remember this. It was on March 30th, 1981. President Ronald Reagan was leaving a speaking engagement at a Washington, D.C. hotel. And as he's being shuffled out of this hotel, John Hinckley Jr. came up with a pistol and from close range started firing shots at Ronald Reagan. And it was Timothy J. McCarthy who stepped in front of that bullet. He is the only Secret Service that had ever done that. And he stepped in front of that bullet and actually took a hit in the abdomen. He lived through the ordeal. It's difficult. It's difficult to imagine even a person who would die in the place of an innocent man. It's a possibility that a person would die for a beneficial man, a good man. But Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, took the bullet for us, for you and me, the one worthy of worship because of who he is and his righteousness, died for the guilty. He died for those who deserve death. Christ died in man's place, the just for the unjust, the able for the unable, the godly for the ungodly, the worthy for the unworthy. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Well, lastly, this morning, Christ died for the right motive. Christ died for the right motive. Look at verse 8. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for two reasons, really. He died, first of all, to demonstrate God's love. And he died, secondly, to deliver stuck sinners. To demonstrate God's love and to deliver stuck sinners. This was God's motive. Now, I don't know what Timothy J. McCarthy's, that Secret Service man that we just talked about, I don't know what his political affiliation was or is. I don't know if he loved Ronald Reagan. And I don't want to take anything away from his heroics and taking a bullet for our president. He is a brave man and a hero in my eyes. But what I do know is that Timothy J. McCarthy was doing a job that he was paid to do. He was compensated for that job. He was compensated for taking a bullet for the President of the United States. And even in that, I would like to believe that the reward was not his motive. I would like to believe that he did it because he loved and honored our president and our country. You see, perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But again, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God was not rewarded. He suffered loss. God did not take the bullet for a good man. He suffered loss for sinners. Christ died for the right motive, and that motive was to demonstrate God's love. We actually learn here by implication that Jesus Christ is God, because the love that is spoken from The love that God is showing is the love that Jesus is showing. It is a godly love. And by implication, we see here that Jesus Christ is none other than God. And that word demonstrate actually carries with it the meaning of proof. In other words, if we want to know just how much God really loves us, here's the proof. Here's the proof. He gave his own son to die so that we would not have to. This love is so far beyond human love that we can't fully comprehend it. Now, those of us that have trusted in Jesus Christ, we have experienced that love. We have an inkling of what that love looks like. But I can tell you, we will never in this lifetime fully comprehend the love of God. There is a story about a crippled little girl that with an extensive operation, there was hope that she could walk. However, the operation required a blood transfusion, and the only person that was available and had the same blood type was her older brother, and he was only 10. So they asked him, would you be willing to give your blood so that your sister can have this operation and possibly walk? And the little boy thought about it hard for just a few minutes, and you tell that the gears were turning here, and he finally agreed, yes, I will do it. Well, shortly after the blood began to flow from the arm of this young man, he asked the nurse, he said, when am I going to die? You see, he didn't understand. He thought he was giving it all. He thought he was giving his life so his little sister could walk. Now that is an incredible view of human love. In fact, I think it's a great picture of the kind of love that God gives us. But I have to tell you, we in this lifetime will not comprehend what God has done, because even this little boy, okay, in his eyes, it was a substitution, a lesser for a greater. God gave the greater for the least. Scarcely, possibly, one might even die for an innocent little girl. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The anointed one died for ugly, guilty, ungodly sinners. He gave his blood and he gave it all. 1 John 4:10 says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Christ died to demonstrate God's love, and Christ died to deliver stuck sinners. In verse 8 again, we find that word still. Yours might actually read yet, but it's the same word in the original language that we talked about earlier. Stuck in that condition. Jesus Christ died because he loves us and because he wanted to get us out of that condition. We were still sinners. We were stuck there and he wanted us out. 1 Timothy 1:15 says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ did this willingly. Jesus Christ did this selflessly. Jesus Christ did this effectively. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Paul says there, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Only Jesus is qualified to make us qualified for heaven. And he did it through his death. He was the right person at the right time, in the right place, with the right motive. And he did it for you. Colossians 1:12 through 14 says this. And I think this is something that this is really applicable to every single person here. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is something we can be thankful for. Only Jesus is qualified to make us qualified for heaven. Two questions. Have you trusted in what Jesus Christ has accomplished? Have you done that? Have you trusted in Him for that salvation? And then also, have you told Him thank you lately? Have you told Him thank you lately? Not only verbally, but have you demonstrated it, proved it with your life? Are you doing, I know we had communion last week, but is there anything in our life right now that is ungodly, that is contrary to God, that is something that isn't saying thank you to Him? If there is, having read the words that we have read today and what took place to get us to where we are as a child of God, if there is anything in our life right now that is contrary to God, that is ungodly, we can say thank you to God by stopping it right now and doing it, as we read a few weeks ago, by the power of the Spirit. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we are thank you for just the detail that you give us here in your word concerning what exactly you have done for us and why you have done it. Father God, we understand that we are ungodly. We were, prior to salvation, stuck in that condition. And this morning, Lord God, we do thank you for sending the right person at the right time to the right place for the right motive. Thank you, Lord God, for your love this morning. And I pray that our life would be a living testimony of the love that you have given to us, that you have poured out on us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Again, Dave is multitasking. As we close with this last song, as Pastor Craig said, if you have accepted Christ and accepted what He did for us and placed your faith in Him, you have the privilege of singing this song with us. And if you have not done that yet, if you have not placed your faith in Christ, I pray that you would do that right now in this moment as Dave